Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we draw upon your presence tonight. Thank you for your great goodness, Lord, in appearing before your people. And we have the utter vindication, Lord, in this hour to know that that is true. We now pray we might draw from you, Lord, as for our strength, but above all for our understanding of your word, becoming more and more one with us until the promise of the hour, the life of the word, come forth in the bride, bringing forth the resurrection, immortality, those that stand here, Lord, catching away, waiting supper, Lord, to come back to establish the king upon earth by your grace and goodness, Lord. We know that's possible, and we know it's happening. Happening to somebody, if not to us, but Father, we claim our portion tonight, asking you to help us to do so. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're unto number 23. The God of this evil age, and in commenting, or in our comments, I might say, in number 22, from last Sunday, we found Brother Branham addressing the bride of Christ as one who has absolutely no feelings or desire of any sort to consort with the one who purports to be her husband, but it is not. She knows only the voice of her true husband, whose voice is his word, which word is the Bible. Being part of the heavenly bridegroom, who is the Rhema Logos, her very nature leads her and opens her to accepting the present-day revelation of the seven sealed mysteries of the Bible, proven by vindication to be the truth. And she thereby escapes last-day deception, when all others are taken in Satan's net as the whole world wonders after the beast and, of course, inadvertently or consciously follows him. By the fully revealed and explained principle of Alpha and Omega, she traces the trail of this deceit from Satan's presentation of the sensual joy and beauty and love and so-called truly desired life of his tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, so that she can identify today his spirit in contrast to the Spirit of God. And she sees and recognizes the same two spirits now in men at the end time, worshiping as those spirits once dwelt in and manifested in Abel and Cain. The bride understands Matthew 16:13-18 in its proper light of revelation, and thus her faith is a revealed faith by God and not the reasoning of the minds of men or the deceitful pronouncements of the devil. Now, just going back quickly in page 39, in 165, Brother Branham mentions, of course, the paragraph above it, the seven seals, which have been revealed to her by vindications. He says, "See the two opposing spirits at work in this evil age? Can you see it? Each very religious, Cain and Abel, spirits again coming to their heads, still same as they started, one worshiping by beauty and by knowledge and by education, by science, by ethics, and the other one by faith of the revelation of the Word of God. Both of them are standing right in this building this morning." That is right. Now, you'll notice that Brother Branham takes this right back to Cain and Abel, where you find the beginning of the proliferation of the human race and serpent seed in Cain and in Abel. And you will notice that the mother of both of these boys claims paternity and privilege from God. The first thing that Eve says when she knew better was, "I have gotten me a man from the Lord." And, of course, this is the type of the church speaking. And this, of course, is the woman who went into disobedience and was charmed by the enemy. And you can see that she really hasn't changed much. You would think that this would make her change, but she doesn't have a change. She is the same woman who entered into folly by consorting with the enemy and brought forth this crude monster, perverted soul called Cain. As I said, Brother Branham takes you back there. And as he takes us back, remember he has also mentioned the twins, such as Esau and Jacob. He mentions those that weren't twins, but of different mothers and the same father, which again, we see, look at the work, we see Isaac and we see Ishmael. Now, what I'm driving at is simply what Brother Branham says here. We see the two spirits coming to head and both very religious. Now, what do you think the Ayatollah Khomeini was? Why, Allah is great. We are the true worshipers. We will kill everybody else, especially the infidel dogs, and Allah is great, and we will see He is great because we're going to murder everybody we can, and if you get killed in murdering those lousy dog Christians, those bunch of pigs, remember, you go straight to heaven. Is there any difference between that and the Mormons promising every man when he gets to the other side to have several wives? See, what you're looking at is satanic religion in the face of Christianity, which true Christianity is merely a tiny part of Christianity, and the whole world is in the lap of the wicked one, period. It's all religious, whether they make the religion four-footed beasts and animals, whether they make it a matter of high morals and ethics, no matter what they make it, out there is a religion. There is something in there that man adheres to as above and beyond himself, and if you go to the place where the communists were, you will find that they hide behind their cloak of morality, which is, we want a better living for everybody. And you notice Brother Branham will cover that shortly as we go along. So you look at that thing there, and you can see these two opposing spirits. They are at work. And, of course, they are mentioned in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, particularly. And Brother Branham said both of them are standing right in this building this morning. What does that mean? The Spirit of God stands there, and the spirit of Satan stands there. Proper worship and revelation stands there. Improper revelation, improper worship stands there exactly. And then it proliferates through the whole world. Now, 166. Revelation or faith in His Word makes no claim of knowledge. That is, this is real true Christianity that does that. The church says, have you got a doctor's degree? The bride makes no claims. She simply says, I believe His Word. See, doesn't make any claims, doesn't claim to be educated, doesn't belong to any denomination. Maybe that's a spiritual husband. You got these preachers all want to be spiritual husbands. You think that doesn't type something? Come on, smarten up. You have to hear 1,000 tapes and hear 1,000 preachers to know where the truth is, or can't you just stick with Brother Branham? Spiritual husbands. I've watched them. They'll all be happy when I quit preaching, at least for a few months even. Because they know I murder this kind of infidelity. Why would I want to be your spiritual husband? I got trouble being a physical husband with my wife and taking care of a family with other bunch of people. It says as. It's an obligation. But notice how they twist and put it back on you. That's lousy hypocrisy. Shh, man. You better wake up before it's too late. Because I think maybe it's possible that some people could get charmed by that suave, charismatic hogwash. You know, the serpent didn't come and hit Eve over the head of the club and rape her in some dark cave. She flipped the coop in broad daylight and thought she had a great time. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is seduction, pure and simple. Charmed, I'm sure. Yeah. Doesn't belong to any denomination or spiritual husband, any party, any sex. Belongs to Christ. It's His wife, not a church wife. She's a prostitute, the church wife is. The Bible said she was a whore and the mother of harlots. Got all these daughters of hers out of wedlock. That's like Eve got the first one out of wedlock. married to Adam and messed up with the beast. They all come from the same whore. And that kind of woman is a woman that's untrue to her husband and claiming Christ as her husband belonging to domination. Such nonsense. You belong to Christ. All right, revelation or faith in His Word, it doesn't mean you have an alternative. It means that they are in apposition, because revelation is faith in His Word. Because we are talking about Word, we are talking about God, we are talking about God revealing His Word and people worshiping thereby. So therefore, as Brother Branham said, you cannot worship and serve God apart from a prophet. That's exactly true, because the whole book is made up of prophets. All right, started with Paul Bacferardi. Revelation, which is faith in His Word, makes no claim of knowledge. As Brother Branham said so correctly, not what I knew, but what He said. Not what I knew, but what He said. Paul makes the same claims in Galatians, and then he tells us to follow his recipe, which he sets forth in Galatians, in Romans, the 10th chapter. And in there, the 4th verse, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, that's what he said. Christ is the end of the law as concerning righteousness. There isn't any law in itself which is going to bring it. It comes in the person of Christ. For Moses describeth the righteousness which of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But now watch. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks only. It's a talking proposition. And you know, they say talk is cheap, but it's not cheap. By your words you're justified, or by your words you're condemned. Now, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, bring Christ down above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? In other words, it bypasses every argument, everything that's contrary to education and to human knowledge, everything that's contrary to your senses is based upon something you don't know but what God says. And what saith it? What is this faith, this righteousness that speaks? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, even in thy heart. Got to come from somebody's mouth first. Gets down the heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Comes from Paul's mouth to your ears. Go down in there, then you say it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, there is no knowledge there that you have to have that's required of you apart from the revealed word of Almighty God, the word for the hour. Now, that's real true Christianity. The church says, have you got a doctor's degree? The bride makes no claims. I simply believe His Word. Doesn't make any claims, doesn't need to be educated, doesn't have spiritual headship in a denomination, is not a saint, belongs to Christ, it's His wife, not a church wife, that's a prostitute. Now let's go over here to Daniel, the 3rd chapter, and let me see, it's 4-9, I guess, 3rd chapter. And it says, and at that time when you're there, no, here, and then a herald cried aloud to you, it's commanded, O people, nation, and language, at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kind of music, you fall down, worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whosoever falleth not down, worship the same, should be cast amidst the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and so on, all the people of all language, all nations, the whole polyglot bunch of them, and fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said, O king, live forever. Didn't you make it? So on. Now what you see is the beginning of this world system. Started way back there at the time of Nimrod and grew right up to where God allowed it to become a world empire, which was basically a religious world empire, until he came down into Rome, which was also basically a heathenistic religious world empire. Each one of those had contact with Christianity, because the word Christ means Messiah. The people who believed in the Messiah, which meant a messianic reign, Christ and the people reigning upon earth, a righteous, true government of which God was the head of true theocracy. All right, they were acquainted by reason of the fact that they all had something to do with the Jews. Now, at the very end time, you see the same thing again. America's made the image of what, based upon what? The gold. Rome's got all the gold, and America gave it to her. So therefore, now the Catholic Church has got it all. And you can see this whole thing coming to a head here where they're going to worship the image. It started back there, and it's going to be that way. There's nothing you can do about it. It's here. Now, you notice what this kind of woman is. She's a whore. And she's had children, which are Protestant children. And you notice that Rome says today, come back to mother. They acknowledge the Protestant daughters of Rome. And they claim every single one on grounds of the baptism in water, which is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is of Rome and is not of the Bible. And Brother Branham brings it out also toward the end of the message. Now, this woman claims Christ to be her husband, but that's false. Now, you notice the devil's church is claiming Christ the same as the devil is claiming the bride. So you can see they have the same spirit. They have a jolly little tete-a-tete. They have a nice little affair going on. It's a perfect seduction. He likes it and she likes it, and they're all one. In other words, they're deceived and she is deceived. The whole thing is a matter of deceit. Now remember, the whole thing of religion that is wrong starts in deceit. Now Satan himself was deceived to believe that he could ascend above God. Now, you couldn't believe that such a thing would happen. But if it happens in the devil, who sums up all wisdom and beauty, don't think it can't be in the church. Open your minds and realize that this is a natural, logical thing we're talking about. It's the same as you pour the milk on your Wheaties or your Cheerios, and you go crack, crack, a pop. You put a bottle of water in the freezer, you don't leave room for expansion, the bottle's broken. So what you're looking at here is deceit. See? Now, 167. But in obedience, this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, the person here, there, off somewhere else, some other church, some other denomination, whatever it is. Now, you'll get your clue to this as we read. Believes the word of God, obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. She's watching for it. She's part of that word. And she's watching for her life to manifest that word. Brethren, can't you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. The body is waiting for, which is the word, waiting for the light, which is the spirit, to confirm or make it alive. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. She can't come to life any other way, yet she feels it out there, and she knows it's going to happen. Then here it happens, then she wakes up. God said, let there be, and she came forth like, and she comes forth like the first one came forth. Now, we're going to look at this in the light of Brother Branham preaching this message to a group of people, and he said right in the building this morning in my own church, we've got the two spirits standing right there. So there's a bunch of deceived people in Brother Branham's tabernacle. He also knows this message goes out right to the world. So therefore, out in the world, there's a bunch of deceived people out there. And the bride is there, and she is, because she is what she is, and the position she's in, she has to come out of Babylon. Now, never forget, he is revealing this in order to bring the people out of Babylon to know why they are coming out. Now, he says this, but in obedience, contrary now to disobedience, there's a little faith woman that lives by faith. In other words, she's a revealed bride. She's got some revelation that's going for her. And she lives by revelation, the bride, person here, there, off somewhere else, some other church, some denomination, whatever, she's out there. Now, of course, that's a lot like the Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman wanted a son. Now, she can't have a son because there's something wrong with her husband or her. And so, therefore, she wants this son to come in the flesh. She knows in a way that she's entitled to it on the grounds, be fruitful and multiply and so on. She's a woman. She has a man there. And they should have a child normally and naturally speaking. Well, all right, the bride's in the same position. She should positively know, she knows, that somewhere down the line there has got to be the manifestation of the Son of God. There's got to be the bridegroom come back. There's got to be the Son which was delivered to us and for us, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of David. Call him what you want. He is supposed to come forth. So, all right, as a Shunammite woman is looking for this one, this Son, the what she wanted to bring it forth, so the church wants to do that also. That is, the bride wants this. Now, at the same time, you've got a bunch of ecumenical people and fundamentalists who are looking for the same thing. So, what we're looking at here then is this here, which she says, Brother Branham says, this bride off somewhere, some church, some denomination, is the clue to the rest of the paragraph that might be confusing unless you're realizing that Brother Branham is speaking to a church within a church and desiring to call out a true bride, that within her are stirrings which she cannot truly identify and position as she would like to. But she's in this conglomerate. All right, now watch. Believes the Word of God, obedient, waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. Now, she's watching and waiting for a promise. And that's true. There hasn't been a time since I was roughly 17 years of age into Pentecost that I did not look for the Lord to come the very next morning. And that's a lot of summers and winters ago. And you'll notice the fundamentalists have the very same thing within their minds, which is to say that we have the true virgin and the foolish virgin ready to be awakened at the presentation of the bridegroom. As it said, they were all slumbering and sleeping, and a cry went out at midnight, "Behold the bridegroom." And they all rose, but there was a people whose vessels was out of oil. The others were not out of oil, which signifies that there was a word that was available, but there was a substituted word or a barren word from which the life had passed on. So we're looking at the two virgins, foolish and wise. Now, she's watching for it. Now, she is part of that word. What word? The word at the end time. Now, watching for her life to manifest that word. Now, let's just take a look at that. We go to Colossians, the third chapter. Now, I'm telling you what I see here. You can see anything you want, but what I'm looking at is this. 1-3, 1-4, Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, what is he saying here? In my understanding, he's saying what Jesus said. He is telling you not to labor for the things that perishes, but labor for the things that are eternal. He's telling you, do not lay up treasure on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but lay them up in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt, or where your heart is. There your treasures, there your heart will be also. And Paul the Apostle in the book of Corinthians says pretty well the very same thing. So what he's telling you here then, listen, hey, you people are not looking at this life here with any matter of satisfaction or any stability wherein you think you're going to go on and keep progressing and build the church up to where it can take over the earth and say, hey, look what we accomplished, and see, this is what life is all about. Now, that's what the churches are doing. You see? But the bride doesn't do that. There is something stirring in the wise and the foolish virgin that knows positively there should be a takeover in the kingdom by God himself. So she is watching for her life. Now, what is her life? Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall you also appear with him in glory. And that appearing, of course, is at the end time where the very presence of God comes into an actual manifestation. Of course, the world does not understand that, but we do. Now, brethren, can't you see that? I hope that didn't go over you. Now, the body, which is the Word, is waiting for the light. Now remember, she's part of the Word. She constitutes a body, so she's waiting for that life to come, which is the Spirit, to confirm or make it alive. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about the fact that this woman has a revelation, and she's waiting, obedient to all that she knows, all that where her faith is at this time. She is watching for the light to be manifested in order that that life manifested, which of course is a vindicated life, is going to make her alive. In other words, it's going to quicken her, it's going to quicken the Word, and bring them together. That's what she's waiting for. Now, the point is this. Israel was looking for the consolation of Israel, but didn't know it until it got there and it was pointed out. Now you can't say they weren't looking for it. They were looking for it. Wise and foolish. And even those that were heretical concerning the truth and millions of miles away, they knew something was going to happen. Now those that were doing all they could do were known as those that were disobedient, that John turned right around to the truth. They then would be the wise virgins. The rest would not be. Now, the rest were merely taught concerning Messiah. But you notice that their position that they took with him was a million miles off of mark, the same as the church's position that it takes. A million miles off the mark. Now, they were waiting. And the bride today, even the foolish virgin, is waiting in order for the end time promise to be confirmed to them, because they know it's got to be confirmed. And they're waiting for it. See, now Brother Branham is not talking intimately to the bride that's already come out. He is speaking concerning right across the table, or right across the whole map here, and there's people out there, he says, in denominations and so on in other churches that are a part of it. Now, that's what she's waiting for. Whether she knows it or not, as Israel, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and knowing signs are there that this should be that hour for it to happen, being made aware of it, and we are aware of it, Israel back in the homeland and so on, they're waiting for this great thing to happen, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they know exactly what is going to happen. Now, back in those days, it was Christ appearing in order to be the Messiah who'd laid down his life, shed his blood, and bring the people out. But now you're looking for what? You're looking for the graves to open. You're looking for people to be transformed. You're looking to catching away. You're looking for the wedding supper and the coming back and so on. Now, that's what she's waiting for. She has got to wait on it because there's nothing else she can do. Now notice, no other life will work in her. See, no other life than the life which is manifested. Now what life was manifested? The manifested life right there. By vindication, there is nothing you can do about it. Now, she can't come to life any other way, yet she feels it out there, and she knows it's going to happen. Then here it happens, then she wakes up. So you see, she knew it was going to happen, not exactly knowing how it was going to happen, when and where it would happen, not the details, but she knew something had to happen. See? And it happens. And when it happens, she wakes up. Now, here's what Paul says to the Gentiles. Don't be partakers with the children of disobedience. But you were sometimes darkness, are now made light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's verse 8 of chapter 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. Or the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, even righteousness and even truth. You can't have one and the other. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things done by them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, he tells you right there, there's going to have to something come, and even as it came back there in Paul's day, and he's talking about himself, and he's talking about us here, that there's only one way you can know what is really light. You can really know if what's done by people in secret or anything else is entirely wrong. Something's got to come on the scene and make it manifest. Now notice, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. In other words, something's got to come on the scene which differentiates and makes the difference. See, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That's the same thing as come out of her, my people. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. There's no difference. You only got one word, brother, sister. I don't care how many times it's stated, 50 different ways in 50 different places. There can only be one truth concerning the appearing. Now, you can say what you want. That's why these theologians and all these people outside the message are all messed up. Because they see 40 or 50 different things said in 40 or 50 different ways, and they think it's 40 or different things that are separate, and they can't put it together. It's all one thing. You talk about fire, there's only one time there's going to be fire on earth. That's the end of Malachi. Malachi 4 and 1 goes into Revelation. Matthew 3rd chapter. Fan is in his hand, thoroughly purges floor, fire. I don't care how many places you find it. There's only one time it can come with flaming fire working judgment. There's only one. And Christ should give you light. What's he talking about? If you can catch the manifested evidence of the crucial moment in which you live and you attribute it to God, light will come. Oh, that's the devil. Well, he just blew it right there. Oh, he works by Beelzebub. Blew it right there. Only it's worse today. You can't fool with these things. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, what's the will of the Lord? The will of the Lord always has been to reveal himself by prophet, by revealed word. It hasn't been anywhere else. Now, she knows it's going to happen. Then here it happens. And when it happens, she wakes up. That's what Paul says. If something doesn't happen to wake her up, she's not going to wake up. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing wakes people up better than a real blinding light right shot in the eyes in a dark room. Almost let a cannon go off, they won't wake up. But you shine a light in the person's eyes, you watch that person flinch. Unless he's zonked out like you and I can't believe. But don't take one person zonked out as an example for everybody that doesn't. Because 99 and 900% of the people right now are nervous and they wake up in a hurry. See? In other words, they can get bugged pretty easy. Now, God said, let there be, and she came forth like the first one came forth. So God said, let there be what? Let there be light. God said, let there be Eve, or whatever, Adam, coming forth. So God's going to bring them forth. I don't know just what all Brother Branham has in mind here, but you can say that positively as he brought Adam on earth and out of Adam came Eve and out of the bride came Christ. So out of Babylon will come the bride that's in there, and out of the graves will come the people. Now, 168, he says here, the children of disobedience means rebellion. I looked that up in the dictionary to be sure. Rebelling against what? Rebelling against the revealed word of God, like Cain rebelled against Abel's revealed revelation. Notice the double emphasis. Vindicated of God that it was righteous. And Cain rebelled against it and slew his brother. The Pharisees, with their own denominational knowledge of what the word of God was, selected hand-picked men, rebelled against the vindicated word of God being manifest for the day even Jesus Christ, and killed him. Is that right? That's what the children of disobedience are. They're rebellious. They rebel against the Word of God. Now, see where they are? Oh, days of miracles are past. Jesus Christ is not the same. No such thing as baptism of the Holy Ghost. All that stuff is nonsense. See? Rebellion. They don't have to say two things, just have to say one thing. That's all. There's rebellion right there. They can't say you don't have eyes, don't have ears. You've got to take the whole body, the whole Word. See? Now, he's illustrating right there that you can't take part of the Word. You've got to take all of the Word, just like you take the whole body. And you don't call the body wholeness, it's all there. Got to have eyes, ears, nose, everything else. So with the Word, you got to leave it all there, and it'll all fit in there. Now, notice he's up here again, and he's talking about Cain and Abel once more, taking us right back, and he shows us where rebellion is. All right then, Cain and Abel epitomize and head all worship today, and churches rebel against Abel, the same as Cain rebelled against him, which in plain English is when there is a vindicated word that has to do with the relationship of God, which is number one, sonship, and number two, worship. It is going to be fought by those that aren't in the lineage, because Cain was not in the lineage. He was not a son. Therefore, the word could not be revealed to him, and therefore he could not worship properly. Now, that's what we're looking at. Now, Brother Branham mentions the disobedient. They are disobedient to vindicated truth. They are rebellious. Now, the word rebel is in the Bible. So we're going to take a little look at these rebels and things that are mentioned therein. And first of all, we're going to kind of mix it up. So we're going to go to the book of Numbers, and we'll go to 17 and 10 if I've got these down right. I hope so. All right. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony to be kept for a token against the rebels. For thou shalt take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. All right. And you'll notice that the rebels here are in danger of dying. Now, what are they rebelling against? They were rebelling against the way that God was testing them and putting them to the test. They were rebels against God's program of training. That's one type of rebel, rebelling against the Word. All right, we go to Deuteronomy chapter 9, and in there we find verse 7, chapter 9, verse 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God in wrath in the wilderness, from the day thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came unto this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. In other words, they kicked their heels in, and they were stiff-necked, self-righteous, and they didn't like what God was doing or how he did it. In verse 24, you've been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Now, that's a pretty rough situation there. You can't be talking to the people that are really of God. He's talking that mixed multitude, which we see the same thing today. Chapter 21, Deuteronomy, verses 18 to 20, I suppose. And it says, if a man have a stubborn, rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, and that when they've chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and mother lay hold him, and bring him out unto the elders of the city, and unto the gates of his place, and no more protection. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this is our son, our son is stubborn and rebellious. He'll not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So you can see God's not going to tolerate the rebellious. All right, we just go a little further here, and we go to 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and in verse 23... we read, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Sure, because that's where it comes from. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Notice, that's what they do. They become idolaters. So what happens when you rebel against the Word? You're disobedient in your heart. Child disobedience, you will go into witchcraft and rebellion and idolatry. Notice, because thou hast rejected the Word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. So he rejects the people. Saul doesn't stand alone there. That's the very same thing. Okay, back to Deuteronomy. We'll just take the last one here. And we go to the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And in verse 26 it says, notwithstanding you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandments of the Lord your God. Now you notice right in there, rebellion against the revelation. God said, now look, go on in there and you can check out what's in that land. Now, they would not do it when they saw what stood before them. They said, there's giants in there. Now bring that to Hebrews 6. Where you taste of the powers of the world to come, which is the millennium, and you turn it down for organization. Now, you see, there's no way these people are going to make the millennium. They haven't got a clue, they haven't got a prayer, they haven't got anything. It's a terrible situation. Okay, all right. Let's go on to the next paragraph. They make two paragraphs of one. I don't know people, but they know. The Holy Spirit calls to her, come out. Come out of her. Be not partakers of her denominational dogma. Satan laughs and scorns the word of God for this day or of this day. For God is not mocked. He said to you, I think, but God is not mocked. Just remember, she'll get it. Don't be worried. Don't worry. She'll get it. The Bible in Ephesians 4 and 30, you want to put that down, says God is not mocked. Actually, he's talking about the Holy Ghost, and that's Ephesians 4 and 30, is grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. It's Galatians 6 and 7 that says God is not mocked. So he's kind of throwing the people a curve here, and I think it's real cute. He stumbles a bit here in his own little mind or his own little way, and the people get thrown a curve. So what you see here, do not grieve the Holy Spirit who is here, whereby you were sealed to the day of redemption. The Redeemer himself here is him in the form of the Holy Ghost. And the people are sealed in now, and also they're locked in by headship. And God is not mocked. He's here in the form of the Holy Ghost. God is not mocked. Now, what these people sow, they're going to reap. This is the day of reaping. That's what he's talking about, see here. Now, whatever a man sows, that man is going to reap. So what is he sowing? He's sown dogma to himself and creeds. He's making fun of the manifested things of Almighty God, and he should not be doing that because it's going to come back upon him. Now, he said, the Holy Spirit says, come out of her. And that's true. The Holy Spirit also says, come out and look at the bridegroom. Come and behold him. And remember, the beholding of the bridegroom is not just simply in signs and wonders, but it's actually in the pillar of fire, of which we have a picture, as Brother Branham said. Now, and we go to the next paragraph, 169. She is the devil's bride, wrapped up in his religious sin-loving knowledge for this present evil age to deceive you. Oh my, a whole clique of, or denomination of seducing spirits by scientific knowledge and modern civilization claiming that she's building a great world for you to live in. Now, the Word of God distinctly declares that there's no great new world to live in, but the whole thing's going to be tumbled down. Just the same as Samson took the two pillars of the temple of Baal and pulled on it, and it all fell down and the people were destroyed. So they're looking for this, they're looking for this world to live in, and there isn't going to be any world to live in. You see, they're preaching the fallacy of 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 23, where in the very church age, the first church age, Paul, vindicating the resurrection by pointing out, like Peter, that Christ has risen from the dead and doing the things that you see manifested that he did when he was here in the flesh. And Paul points out the resurrection. Now, the church at the end time, like the first church age, is bypassing the resurrection and saying, hey, we're building a greater community. Think of our children down the road. We've got these great plans. Hey, think of them. Are they thinking of their children? They're not even thinking of their mothers. These louse-bound heathens that are destroying the universe, there's nothing left for the kids. Yet they're claiming a greater civilization and greater benefits down the road. It's impossible. Here you got two people confronting each other with guns. Mr. Bush, the head of nominal Christianity, claims he's born again, and those quirks over there, like the Rafsanjani and Khomeini, I guess the son of the great Khomeini, those guys all there, they're claiming great religion. You've got two religions facing each other. And it all boils down to what? Money. They're both a couple of jerks. Why, they're no more honest than a skunk is. Well, a skunk is honest. Let's not get the, he can't help it. He stinks. Those guys can. Yeah, there's a difference there. And the skunk, he only lets go one for his own protection. These guys are out there against everybody. See? Now, they are against the resurrection by preaching we're going to bring you something better. At the same time, you will notice that people are going more and more toward reincarnation, which says judgment goes on, and you keep learning your lessons until one day there's no lessons to learn. That's Eastern baloney cut Western style, all it is. Anybody knows that? Now, notice, she claims that in her civilization she has built fine churches, colleges, schools, and hospitals, libraries, and temporary help for men. That's true, it's only temporary. Without God's word, she's done it. She's proved that she could do it, and the people fell for it. Yes, sir, schools, denomination, culture, better dressed people, better fed people. I'd rather be in a bread line and be right with God than have fried chicken three times a day and belong to the prostitute like that. Now, the Protestants are no different from the Catholics. We go back here to Matthew, the 6th chapter, Sermon on the Mount, and you notice in verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but so on. You're laid up in heaven where that doesn't happen, where your treasure, your heart is also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your whole eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. You see, these guys back here don't have light. That's what's going on. If they had light, they would be single-minded toward the treasures in heaven. They'd be single-minded toward the revealed word of God, the light. See? The light of the body is in the eye. Remember, the eye is the last moving part of the body, and that's the prophet. If therefore thine eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. So if the whole church could listen to the prophet, they'd be in good shape. But if your eye be evil, thy whole body full of darkness. And what do you got? You got false shepherds, false prophets. If therefore the light that's in thee be darkness, how great is your darkness? No man can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other. Now right off the bat, they say they love God and they hate the devil. They're liars. They love the devil and hate God. You cannot get away from the Word of God. All right, now let's go to the next paragraph. You remember the hour is close at hand when the mark will come. Now remember that, he said. You'll either be in it or out of it. It'll come like a thief in the night. It'll catch you right in there, and you're in there to stay. There isn't any getting out of it then. You took it. Yes, sir. Come out. An angel came down from heaven with a great shining face and cried out to the people, and the voice shook the earth. Come out of Babylon, for she's fallen. Be not partakers of her plague, my people. Get out of her. Get out. Didn't we just read that in the Word a while ago? An angel's a messenger, see, coming down. Notice, the Holy Spirit, come out of her and be not partakers. Now, Brother Branham says the same thing he said in the seals. Why, he said, what a mistake I would have made, but the Holy Spirit swept in the room. Then at the end of the seals, he said, what was it? He said, it was those seven messengers each day coming in. So here the Holy Spirit comes in the form of an angel. And an angel is a messenger. So what is Brother Branham saying? Let's go back to Revelation 18 and find it. Revelation 18. After these things I saw another messenger come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit and cage. Therefore, come out of her. What is she fallen from? She's fallen from complete grace. There isn't any more. I'm going to burn her and her children. It's over. Malachi 4:1, root and her branch. Now, listen, he says here, a mighty angel came down with a great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory, and he, Brother Branham, called it the Holy Spirit. Right? Well, did he? Come on, read what he said. Okay, let's go to Revelation 10:1. I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. He cried with a loud voice. And part of the voice was the thunders. The revelation that Babylon is what she is, who Satan is, and it's fallen. It's over. It's gone. Okay, now come on, let's go a little further. You ready for it? Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So who came down? The Holy Ghost came down. Who's the Holy Ghost? God's the Holy Ghost. He came down. Came down with the book of redemption. Came down to get us out of Babylon. Came down and proved who He was. All right, you understand that then. Okay, 171. Now she built all these things, the schools and everything else. She built great churches. She built college schools, taking the people, educating them into a better so-called civilization. Have educated them by modern civilization, brought them into the pit of death by knowledge, away from God and His Word. Now, what happened when the missionary went to Africa? What happens every time any missionary goes anywhere? The missionary opens up the country, gets the natives settled down, gets people turned to God, and old money bags comes in. The merchants come in. They got their own religion, malreligion, in the guise of merchandise, and culture comes in. And the missionary's not against it because he doesn't want to see the poor natives in Africa having their lips out, the ubangis in them. You've got lip, you know, the duck-billed platypus, what they look like. And these women get their necks stretched up with you've seen them, haven't you? My Lord, they stretch the neck up to about 6 or 7 inches, and the lips come out 7, 8 inches. And they grind your teeth off, and oh, they're beautiful, all right. Heathenism does it. And the gospel comes behind and gets them educated. Now what do you got in Africa? Oh, you haven't got anything any different in America. Now over down in Africa, they're trying to, the Americans are standing back and saying, hey, give the land to the blacks. The blacks weren't down there. The brown people were down there. The little Bushmen were down there. The Zulus were coming from the north when the white man was in the south, and they fought each other. Don't tell me South Africa full of blacks. It wasn't. Now, the Americans, and forget what they did. They destroyed the Indians. Oh, listen, you think America's not finished? Come on, it's over. That's why Bush goes down there to fight an oil war. So what does Gorbachev do? He's got oil to burn. He's got oil to sell. But he goes down there in an alliance. Now he's standing there ready when he wants to go down for it. The whole thing is finished. Praise God. I want to get out of here. I didn't even want to finish preaching this series. Just get out of here and go for a vacation. Never come back. I'm going to try to finish tonight. Stick with me till midnight. Turn tapes over. I'm going to finish tonight somehow. See, she's done all of this. Okay, 1 Corinthians. The 3rd chapter. 9-20. But we're laborers together with God. You are God's husband. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, you've given to me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation. Another man builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. What was his foundation? The word God, that Christ is God. Come down, so on. Other foundation no man laid, and that is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built there, whereupon he shall receive reward. If any man's work should be burned, he shall suffer loss. He himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Know ye not, you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, and the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive. If any man seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolish with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Now that's a picture right there of what the world's doing. They just go and build any way they want. Every time God sends a revival, man comes in and spoils the whole thing. See? All right. Now, do you see the whole scheme? Do you see that church? Out on the telephone, if you see it in your own congregations out there, say amen. Then the rest of them will know where you're standing, see? She's done. It's a God of this earth, and she has built colleges, she built universities, she built hospitals, she built libraries. She built all these things for temporary help of man, just enough to deceive them to get off of that word. And what she led them to, the whole church world is plunged into debt. For God said he would burn the whore and her children in everlasting fire. Come out of it, people. Don't you be caught in there. You get away from that thing as quick as you can. By her scientific knowledge, she's been able to do this. Now notice, without God's word. In other words, she's making her own millennium or Satan's own Eden. So you notice in here, this always follows a move of God. Now, God never did ordain us to go out and have schools. He never did. He never told us to build hospitals. They're good. Never told us to build libraries. No, sir. He never said, he never did that. He said, preach the gospel. And the gospel is manifesting, demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said the gospel came to us not through word only, but through the manifestation and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I never came to you with great words of wisdom by some doctrine and so forth, but I came to you in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that your faith would not be in the wisdom or knowledge of man of this world, but in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he lives, and the same yesterday, today, and forever. God help us to believe the same thing and vindicate the same thing as he's been doing. Now, what's Brother Branham telling you right there? Is he telling you, go out and preach the gospel by manifesting signs and wonders? That's what one fellow in New York said, and look where he is today. Missing the whole point. He's talking about himself at the end time and Paul in the beginning. If the gospel was set forth by a vindicated ministry, then at the end time, it would have to be vindicated to know that you have the correct revelation of it. Because he's talking about revelation in contradistinction to the position of the world church, wherein is the bride at this particular time. He hasn't come out. So there's got to be something to bring her out. And what is going to bring her out? It's to preach the gospel. What gospel? The gospel that's demonstrated to be correct by the Holy Ghost manifesting the veracity of it. Now that's what he's talking about. Just what he said here about Paul. Paul said, I never came with great words of wisdom or some doctrine. I came demonstrating my right to preach it. On the grounds of manifestation. Now listen, Paul still preached. He never came on the scene with great signs and wonders. And they said, Paul, what is this anyway? Well, let me tell you what happened. Paul went down to a certain, he was shipwrecked. He was on this certain island, Miletus, I guess it was. And as he was there, the people said, hey, this is great. The gods must have rescued this old bird and all these guys because he escaped the storm. Now what happens? They build a fire. And Paul is warming his hand, and a viper comes out of the fire and puts his bites Paul's finger. And he's the kind of viper you can't shake off. Oh, they said, after all, this guy, he escaped the sea. But you see, the gods were still after him. And now, by George, he's going to die. What? Paul shook the viper off when the viper can't be shaken off. Now Paul stands upright, nothing else. Oh, they say, by Jiminy, I'll tell you what, this guy must be a god. They looked only at manifestation. They want to worship. Now, Paul is praying for the sick. He's with the little fella, not Barnabas, but the other guy. You know who he is anyway. And so anyway, they're together, and all the sick are being healed. And so the crowd follows them down the street, and they said, hey, this has got to be Jupiter. What is it, Mars or somebody? The other guy's got to be Quicksilver or whatever it is. You know? Well, these are gods. Now, one of my points is this. If Paul would have just had manifestation and no explanation, they could have gone any direction they wanted. So when you talk gospel, you are talking good news. And it ain't good news unless it's vindicated good news. In other words, you can't tell it's God's good news unless there's a vindication. And that's what Paul is preaching here. Now, I'm not saying you can't have healings and those things. Absolutely, we can have them. But you can't have this. Well, pretty soon you'll be praying for sick and say, I'm vindicated, like all the false prophets out there. Even claiming things that don't even belong to you. I remember a little lady down there in in Belle Beaumont. She wasn't from there. She was near there. I'm not going to say her name because I don't think it's fair. But anyway, it was 1964, and there was this hurricane going to sweep in on Beaumont and really rip things all to pieces. Well, what happened was that the hurricane veered, went out again, and this lady got up in the church, and she said, you know, she said, I turned that storm around. She said, I knew I did. And I said, sister, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I know you didn't turn that storm around by your faith. Let me tell you what happened. And this is what happened. That storm was turning anyway, and when you prayed, the assurance was in your heart because the storm had already turned, that it was going to turn, and you think you turned it, but I know you didn't. Now, I'm going to tell you, I stood up there, and I could have been a right-forth pretty dummy jackass guy, but I knew she hadn't done it. You know what happened? Harry Green was up there with Brother Branham in the Northwest Territories of Canada, up there in the Yukon. And the shortwave radio told him that Beaumont was going to be hit with that hurricane and destroyed. And Perry got white, green, and yellow around the gills. And he said, Brother Branham, can something been done? Can be done? He said, Perry, just leave me here. He went out and prayed. He came back and said, Perry, the storm has turned. Now, any of us, a woman could say, well, hey, I turned that storm. Then, little sister, come here. I've got some sick folk that really need help, and I need some too. Come on, turn my storm. That's a different story. So much for big talk. I'm not interested. I can be accused of knowing word. Just accuse me, that's fine. I'm going to tell you something. People around here are getting healed by this message. I'm getting mine too. I wouldn't be as tough as I was except for this. Now, who are you kidding anyway? Eh? 173. Satan keeps you from seeing the true revelation and faith, or true revelation, even faith, of God's word being revealed and vindicated today. See, he's telling you that. Very same thing that Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It was a ministry. All right. Satan keeps you from seeing the true revelation and faith of God's word being revealed and vindicated today. How does he do it? By schools, library, literature, hospitals, and so forth. See, he keeps you from it. He's now interpreting, as he did to Pharaoh, trying to keep you from seeing the meaning of the vindicated word of his promised age in the evening, like vindicated and proof. He's trying by his knowledge and schools and better educated people and ethics and so forth to keep you from seeing that. What's he talking about? He's talking about Jannes and Jambres and the false prophets with genuine gifts. So now, well, I don't think too much of those that just hammer the word because I want gifts. Well, I don't mind that. You can have all the gifts you want. Anytime you want gifts here, open a room up. I'll come with you. I don't know what God's going to do. As far as I know, the life passed on from gifts to the revealed word. We're not in the body part anymore. We're in the head part. If this divide isn't the neck, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Brother Branham said there had to be a flange for the capstone to come down. The neck's got to be the flange. So I can't see what all this talk is, but it says right here now, Jannes and Jambres was. Jannes and Jambres in Matthew 24:24, the false prophets. So now you've got all the educated Church of Rome, you've got all the Lutherans, you've got all the Methodists, all the Baptists, 80 million charismatic Catholics. Millions and millions of Protestants, charismatic, everyone at their universities, and coming against the word of God that's vindicated because they got the same miracles. And Oral Roberts stands there, a Trinitarian, which is idolatry, and has a bigger ministry than Brother Branham. Now, if you think that didn't get into the prophet's skin, let me tell you, I stood with him in his room or sat there in Portland, Maine, not Oregon, Portland, Maine. And there that morning, as we waited for our own service in the afternoon in a public building, we turned on the TV and there was Oral with these great big tents and big prayer lines and everything else. And I knew it hurt Brother Branham because he wept little tears and he said, see, Brother Vail, I could have that. But he said, that's not my ministry. I got a ministry of the Word. That wasn't his. So he had to put himself down for this little old poor stinking word that ain't so much we worried about. Isn't it just too bad? Get that supernatural picture. Brother Branham had all nine gifts in his ministry. Why wasn't he using them? I'm not saying you sin by not using them. I'm just asking you a question. I'm not against gifts. I've had them, had plenty of them. I want to see these guys that match me. I had a gift of faith operating one night in the Baptist Church in Spencerville, Ohio. If I get those people together, all four of them, every one, I told every single person exactly what was going to happen. Every single person had it happen. I said, tonight you'll see nothing, but you'll come back to me. A woman came back 7 years later, walked on our door. She said, Brother Balaam. I said, no, he's away. My wife said, he's away. Well, she said, I should have come before, but I want to tell you, everything he told me that night came right to pass. The doctor said, you'll lose the baby. I said, no way. The baby's going to be 100% fine, but you are going to almost die, and you will suffer for a long time to come. Lee Vale was right by the power of God, not some doctor by diagnosis. What about that guy down there, and Brother High Point Baptist Church? I don't even know the guy's praying for. Maybe Don Van Hoosier knows. I don't know. I don't know the first thing about miracles. I don't know the first thing about faith. I can't tell you. But the man had a radical mastoid. There's no operation. No ear. Nothing left anymore. It was the simplest thing in the world to just pray for that man and know he had a complete new ear. I said, now plug the good ear, my brother, and plug it good. And I stood back and I said, you can hear me, can't you? I sure can hear you. How did it happen? I don't know, but it happened. But I'll tell you one thing. That I know about. A vindicated word. I'm not against gifts. I'm going to preach this word until I die. Because my prophet said right here, that bride has that word and she knows that word can only come to life. Amen. The spirit that brought it. Amen. Your gifts will bring death. Your gifts bring ecumenism. The word separates. So don't bother coming around me with that junk. I'm not interested. He said, Janus and Jambres will keep you from seeing the truth. Men with gifts. These men weren't prophets. They were phony balonies with gifts. They're false prophets, call it that. Anything so you won't look at that and see that that's Jesus Christ. We got them gifts in our church, bless God. Who needs that lousy mouth prophet, William Branham? Anything to deny the presence. That's what it's about. How do you know it's Jesus Christ? He is the Word, and He's the Word of this age. And this age said that this would take place in this age, and here it's happening. What's happening? Luke 17 and 30, Matthew 12, Hebrews 4 and 12. See, he's trying his best to keep you from seeing that. He'll tack any dirty name onto it he can, see? He'll call it Holy Road or anything else. He'll call Jesus Beelzebub. And if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more are they going to call the disciple? Now, come on, he's not talking about the Pentecostal church. He's talking about the Pentecostal church calling that Beelzebub. They don't call the Pentecostal the Beelzebub anymore. Come on. They're in the vanguard of everything. 174, try to keep you from seeing the real meaning of the word. See, he's interpreting and saying it means this. God said, I promise the last day I'll send you Malachi. Oh, come on, how do you know it's Malachi? Well, he's talking really about Elijah in the book of Malachi. Send you Malachi 4. How do you know? Any bird can say it. There's a guy that followed Brother Branham. Parnell, he said he was the real Malachi 4. Have mercy. Guy's record was rotten. More than one guy would have liked to punch him in the mouth, but didn't. Yeah. He had his Hagars and wasn't ashamed of it. Or he tried to. Said as it wasn't the days of Lot, the world would be in a Sodom condition. At that time, I'll reveal the Son of Man by it exactly. How many people believe that and how many know? Tell that to Pentecostal, laugh in your face. They don't even believe it. You know why they don't believe it? Because they refuse to place it. If you believe something, you'll place it. But you better know you got God behind you because you'll place it wrong. We got all kinds of impersonations and everything else like that, but we got the real one too. There you are, see? He said he would do it. He said the Antichrist would raise up and almost deceive the elect with possible. He said, let him alone. Let them go ahead. Their folly be found at why. The word test proves it, see? When you come to that word, what word test? The word test of the first church age. He said, you called them false apostles. They said, what do you mean we're false apostles? He said, you're not saying what Paul said. Why? Under what conditions did Paul say it? Manifested proof. Now he said, their folly will be found out. Why? The word test proves it. We already know who they are. We're supposed to go around now pretending we don't? Oh, fap. Listen, I had a piece of fish for supper. Want to smell my breath? I washed it all off. Don't tell me you didn't have fish for supper. I got the fish in the garbage and proved it. Well, you say somebody could have eaten it. My wife doesn't care for fish, and Vince doesn't like fish. That took care of it. I like fish. That's why they're crazy. They'll snap up anything. When you come to that word, that had been back this way. Oh, I don't believe in serpent seed. No, of course not. I don't believe this, that, or the other thing. Why not? Because it was never revealed to you. See, never revealed. 175. Notice, trying to keep you from seeing the meaning of the word of this age of evening light being interpreted. Well, how do you know it's interpreted? How do you know the very thing that you want and you say you want as a church and you believe somebody's entitled to it? How do you know? It's got to be manifested. You can't just have a feeling. That's like a pregnant woman. I got this taste. What? Well, pickles and ice cream. Well, not really, but I think that might do it. Pickles and ice cream? Sweet and sour chop suey, maybe. But pickles and ice cream. That's the church for you. They'll take anything, even if it is vomit. All right. The people will not attach revelation to vindication, for they disbelieve in it. They don't believe in vindication. They can't understand Paul in chapter 15 of Romans and 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and so on, though they say they do. But they don't. They'll let anybody teach them. Well, it's in the Bible. I got a fellow who phones me every now and then, and he simply bypasses all vindication, all manifestation, and he's got his own idea because he likes certain guys to teach, and he reads a lot of books. I read a lot of books, too, and I gave up on it. Who needs it? I don't care if anybody can tell me all about the conditions of the world. I've said that since I was a kid. Who needs the idiots that can tell you what's wrong? I want to know how to make wrong right. Any doctor said, well, you got this bug, you got that bug. Well, all right, do something about it. Get me better. They can't do it. Now, they try to keep him seeing the meaning of the word of this age of evening light being interpreted. What does it mean? It's the time of Exodus at hand, and God's coming for her as sure as the world. Now, that's based on 1 Thessalonians 4:16. We know that. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you see the God of this age? You believe it. See how it is. A church, intellectual, scientific. The whole world belongs to it. See, the denominations. You say, I'm a Christian. What denomination do you belong to? Well, if I belong to a denomination, I don't believe I'd be a Christian. Now, that's a big word, but that's right. I just got through saying that knowledge and science and Christianity has no fellowship at all. One's of the devil, the other's of God. Anything that denies God's word, keep away from it. See, now, Brother Branham said, your enemy is the one that denies the word. Denies what word? The vindicated word. You see? All right. Now, Brother Branham is equating the church to Satan, even as he equates the bride to Christ in paragraph 179, which we'll go to pretty soon. He's equating the world church system and all religions outside a bride, which is wise virgin, and the attendants later on outside the city, foolish virgin. He said they're all outside the pale of safety. 1:7-7. No, sir, the Bible calls this last day for Christians to come out of that prostitute. That tree of good and evil. And that's true. It's good and it's evil. Like Brother Branham said, they don't go to church to be bad people. Sure, she has good. Can anybody speak evil of a hospital? No, sir. Library? No, sir. Education? No, sir. But see, they're giving them that without the word. See how deceiving it is. Giving them a church to go to worship a God sitting upon a throne. The Bible foretold it. In other words, they're laying up treasure on earth. See? Now, the bride's got to come out of that. And she will come out of it. And the only thing that can bring her out of it is Revelation 22 and 10, based on Revelation 10 and 7. No other way. Because it's only after Revelation 22 and 10 where the sayings of the book are opened and not to be closed is when right is right and wrong is wrong and evil is evil and so on, and you can walk to the tree of life having made your garments clean. And from that point on, you can't add or take a word. This is it. You see? Now, as I said before, you will notice that always after a sweep of Christianity, there comes a liberal education. After Luther got them out of the Catholic Church, the Lutherans went on the road, and pretty soon education. Methodists came out, poor little country folk, education. Pentecost, the worst of all, they were nothing but a bunch of dumb bunnies. They're wonderful people, but I mean, you talk about ignorant. Then finally, began getting education. Now, they got doctors, 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 doctors. They're dead as a dodo. Now, if you belong to one of those bodies, there's only two of them on earth now, always has been, and will be to Jesus come, and one of them will be destroyed. Now, you belong to one of the bodies. One of them you joined, the other you're born into. One of them you're a part of because you're born into it, and you have to be a part of it. Actually, I think he should have said there, because you're already a part of it, you're born into it. In other words, I can't be born into a family of human beings unless I'm human to be into it. But I know what he means, because he's taught this very thoroughly anyway. Could I deny I've got an arm? No more than I can deny the word of God. I'm part of God. There you see, saying it right there. I'm part of William Branham. I'm in parts, and every part of me is a part of me. And every word of God has to fit my spirit, has to fit my soul, has to fit my living. It has to fit my ideas. If my idea is contrary to that, then the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in me. Now notice what he says right there. You've turned the whole thing right around. Said, if you're a child of God, you'll see this because you're a part of it. And you won't say anything else because you are a part of it. Like I said the other morning, a dog sees a cat. He's not going, meow, 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 sweet pussy. Barf. And boy, that cat's gone like that. You just face it. Everything in nature tells you that. How is a person without a place for the word, which is a soul that has that seed, ever take light? He can't do it. Get a dog to climb a tree. Oh, a few tricks you can get him to climb a tree is a few little tricks. Like a cat? Cat take... Years ago, I had a dog. I loved him. He's a shepherd. We had a cat. We had cats and dogs. Nice to have fun. I take the cat and dog out in the prairie where there's a good sweep before our board fence. I would let the cat go first and give it a pat. And the old dog ready to go. And then I let the dog go. And that cat, whoosh, just hit that fence like that. Just dog go, whomp into the fence. That cat knew how to get up a fence. Hit that feet with those claws, and zoom. Dog never did make it. It's a good high fence. I never saw the dog ever try to climb a wall. Oh, they tried it, but they never can do it. Takes the cat. In other words, I'm showing you right here. In nature, you see the perfection of what we're talking about. You cannot deny it. 179, you belong to one of the bodies. Got to be. It's just got to be. Either the body of God, which is by the word. Ha-ha. The body of God, which is by the word. Or the body of Satan by the church. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and which is the bride, and he's talking about the body of Satan, which is the church. So you can see now the identification. The bride is truly Christ, identified by the word, and Satan's group is thoroughly Satan identified by his word, which is exactly Cain and Abel. This started with Eve. And the whole world, I have to belong to some church. It worships some god. See, any god at all, Allah, this or that. or Baal, or who knows, or, you know, Siva. It's got them all there. You've got to worship either the god of knowledge, you rely upon what you hear by knowledge, you rely upon this or that, rely upon this, that, or the other, or you rely upon God's word by faith, watching for him to vindicate it and make it true. Now, you could stand back and lose everything by not knowing the secrets or the events or the conditions of the rapture. Did you lose it all? You just miss it. All people of this United States, where this message is going now, flee as hard as you can from this knowledge, what would be knowledge-oriented, scientific age we're living in, flee to the Word of God. You see, the lights come from the east. I or you, no one can prove it. God does his own proving. No one has a right to interpret it. I or no man has that right. God does his own interpreting. He made the promise. He said he would do this in the last days. And in the last days, the god of this evil age would blind the eyes of the people with his intellectual knowledge on a mixed tree of good and evil, still giving it to the people. And here it comes, this thing heading up, that denomination from way back in the Dark Ages, it's the Catholic Church, before the Dark Ages, way back to Babylon, way back to Nimrod, way back to Cain, all heading up in a Superman, Satan, who says, I will exalt myself above the sons of God. They will listen to me. In other words, I will raise myself up. I will be their head. I will be their father. Now, he says that even concerning the bride. And because she doesn't believe, he'll kill her or she's got to get out of here. And he as God will sit in the temple of God, and the sons of God will fall for it. Now, he's going to define the sons of God in the next paragraph, so don't get all excited. Don't draw a conclusion. Now, what's he saying here? He said, God made a promise, as he would do this in the last days. And the last days of God of this evil age would blind the eyes of the people, and were in it. Now, what he's trying to tell you here, hey, look, there is a promise for this hour. And the promise is the great rapture and the going away. All of these things are here in the appearing. But the people do not recognize the scripture concerning it. Nor do they recognize that which is here to deceive them. They only say, oh, hey, he's coming. Hallelujah. Rapture coming. Bless God. That's the appearing. Bless God. That's a lie. The appearing is not the rapture. The appearing precedes the rapture. The days of the Son of Man. Where are you going to get the days of the Son of Man in a rapture? That's stupid. Well, that's just the disciples. See, you're going to long to see one of the days, but you're not going to see them. We took care of that, didn't we? You can take care of anything. Just ignore it and deny it. But the prophet is bringing this to our attention. Hey, there is a promise that you are aware of, and there's an urging in your soul to see it fulfilled. I'm telling you how it's fulfilled, and under the conditions of which it is fulfilled, and the dangers. And I'm telling you right now, the god of this evil age is going to get every single person but those that really belong to God, and the poor foolish virgin are going to die. Now take 181. Why, the Son of God say, well, my wife, it ain't, she's good. Go ahead, just go on. You say, well, he ain't sons of God. Yes, sir. Man, now his language is pretty garbled here. But don't worry. Yes, sir, man, whoever he is, was made in the image of God for the glory of God, and a woman is a byproduct for man, not a god. That's right. When the sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair, they took unto them women. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now look, if you want to know what stage the church is, and watch what stage the women are in, because she is the church, watch what she's doing and in this evil prostitute age. Look, there wasn't a meaner, wicked, or lower prostituting city in the world than Nazareth. He likens Jeffersonville to it. And out of there, God chose a virgin. Could any good thing come out of Nazareth? He said Jeffersonville is mean as Nazareth. All right. Could any good thing come out of Nazareth? And out of this evil age where the God of this age has blinded the eyes of the people, their dogmas and denominations, out of that age, God's choosing a people for his name. He's telling you right there, God chose Jesus out of Nazareth. Now, he was actually born in Bethlehem, but he grew up more in Nazareth. So God does the choosing then of the man's walk in ministry comes out of Nazareth. And so William Branham comes out of Jeffersonville as mean as Nazareth. So what's he telling you? He said, can any good thing come out of Jeffersonville? Can any good thing come out of me? He's letting you know that he stands there with all the sons of men, sons of God. Now he's telling you here that these are sons of God on the grounds that they're in the image of God. That's how they started, and that's how they still are today in that particular form. And remember, it tells you over here in the book of Romans that God owns them all. Now let's look at it. I think it's chapter 14. And it says here, verse 7, none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So, all right. Brother Branham has every scripture right to call every single person a son of God on the grounds of original creation. And on the grounds of the fact that man has refused to associate himself with the devil or a beast, considering himself in the higher image, God says, all right, we'll consider it. But wait for the judgment. Now, he said, if you were the seed of Adam, he came to Abraham, you would recognize me. But he said, you are of your father the devil and his works you do. 183, I'm getting to be an old man and my days begin to fade out. My eyesight begins to get dim and my little flame of light begins to burn low. I don't fear the darkness, for I want to say this was with Paul. I know him in the power of his resurrection. Sure, Ephesians 1:17. No matter where they bury me, if I drown in the sea or burn in the furnace, head up by line, he'll call my name and I'll speak, amen. He said, let us pray. Now he said, it'll be out there on the wires, this message across the nation, little churches. Wherever you're seated, oh, let me persuade you, let me beg you, minister the gospel, let me beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, free the wrath of this wicked age. Now, why does he talk to ministers? Because the people listen to the minister. That's the ultimate. Don't serve the God of this evil age. Oh, I know you say, it's good, they're fine, exactly a mixed tree. You can mix knowledge with God's word. It's a word that's to be believed by faith, not knowledge. You don't understand it, you accept it. You say it's right, and then you live by it. That's all he asks you to. Now, the point is this, he's not saying you're living by standards. And do this and do that. He's telling you, you live by that faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You and I don't even need our own faith in this. It's beyond this. What do we know? We bypass our theophonic form. We don't know what went up there. What was that covenant God made with Jesus Christ? Before there was a speck of stardust. In you I start my lineage. And the whole thing was laid up from before the foundation of the world. Sacrifice is the bleeding sacrifice. All of those things. You and I weren't there to know those things. We were there but not to know those things. You see? But what happens now? It's his faith. That's why he could die. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He could do it. Do any of those things. So we are the purchased possession, and we are the triumph of his faith. That's why Paul said, it's not my faith even in Jesus. It's Jesus' own faith. That's my faith in Brother Branham. You think I could produce the things he produced? Hogwash. I haven't got a prayer. It's my faith, as I said. He said, do you see that pillar of fire writing on the wall? I said, no, but I see the man that sees it. That's good enough for me. Here got to come a time when you cease from your own works. There comes a time when you cease from work, and work is, and faith is a work. See? So, all right, you cease from it. When you cease from, when God came down to Abraham and took over, the same thing today. Hebrews 13 and 8. So you cease from it. You come to the place of rest. I tried to explain that rest the other day when I was called of God to a ministry. Oh, it's now violins and soft music and little snort of mine. It's you know something in spite of the raging storms. That you can't prove a thing. The skies are so dark and the sea is so fretful you can't even see the white caps. The ship is rolling. But just stand there and you know. I'm telling you what it's like. You do what you want about it. I've been there and I am there. Called 60 years ago almost. Didn't change. Tried to duck it once and didn't do any good. I don't care if Dick Lambert does say what he just thought he was called. I know some Dick Lambert and his bunch. His son-in-law or any of them. He's naming names again, Vale. Well, if you don't like it, leave the room. I know what they said and where they said it. How does he know it's called or not? The prophet said otherwise. I don't have to lie about it. There's a God in heaven, the Bible open. I could even say I swear, but I don't go against God's word. I tell you the truth. Knowing this is white throne, I challenge anybody living. I'll see you there. Don't worry about it. I don't have to worry. He said it. That's perfect faith. Sure. All that he said, now listen. You ministers, he said. Don't serve the God of this evil age. Oh, I know you say it's good, it's fine. Sure, mixed treat. You can't mix knowledge with God's word. It's the word that's to be believed by faith, not knowledge. You don't understand it, you accept it. You say it's right, then you live by it. Sure, that's right. It's vindicated. That's all he asked us to do. If there's any present here in our group, we can make an altar call. But there's no room. We're out in the air or the telephone lines. Any out there that don't know him? Old women, I've scolded you this morning. Not me. I've only quoted the word short hair, wearing those old clothes, dressing yourself real sexy looking. Don't you realize what that spirit is? You may be clean, sister dear, when it comes to your body. But in your soul, don't you see what's got hold of you? Would God make his daughter look sexy to deceive his own son to lust after her to make them both answer for adultery? Would he do it, sister? Ask yourself that question. No, not by 10 million miles. Don't lay that on to God. How do you prove that? Hebrews 4:12, discerning the people's hearts. God, brother, God, has God given you a spirit of this world till you can't see that that's wrong? Has he blinded your eyes with the ethics of the church denomination, the creed, and so forth, that you can't see that God is vindicating his word and making it so? Making what so? The revelation of it. Has your job, has your boss, has your wife, has your children, has your church, or anything separated you from the Word of God, which is the only source of life? Flee it, my brother. I love you with godly love. I don't respect any of my brothers above you, not at all. If I did, I'd show respect to persons. I don't say these things to make you angry. I say these things because they're in the Word of God. And as a servant of God with the love of God in my heart, I tell you those things so you'll see and understand. Maybe you wouldn't even know if I didn't. Maybe you wouldn't know if I didn't tell you. Will you flee it today? Now, with everywhere across the land, let's bow our heads. And I missed some again here. And we're going to go to page 47, 190. May they flee them denominations and creeds. God, way out there in those creeds and denominations, I met some of the finest brothers in God. How can I say it? They'll see and let them see the word. It bothers me, but I know again you said, no man can come no matter how good, how meek, how gentle, unless my father called him. And all my father gives me will come to me. Now, Brother Brand is telling you right there that he's got hope for a lot of people, and he realizes they're not going to come. And, Lord, I feel my sole responsibility for telling truth. Now, notice solely. He stands alone like Elijah. And not as Paul said, handle the, and said, I'm not, even as Paul declared he would not, handle the word of God with deceit, with denomination dogmas mixed with it. See, that's the God of this world blinded their eyes. What eyes? Revelation chapter 3. Wretched, miserable, blind, and don't know it. See, they see just enough, so they say, well, we can't be blind. And then have a Trinity baptism and a Trinity God with denomination dogma mixed into it as a tree, a mixture of good and knowledge, good and evil, but with an open heart and the Holy Spirit granted. God save everyone. Now with their heads bowed, eyes closed, not me, I can't say this. It makes no difference whether you do or not. It does make me a difference. I can't say it doesn't. It does. I love you, and I hope you don't think because I've had to speak harsh. As Paul said, I'd like to be present with you, and I changed my attitude. It wasn't because he didn't like them. He loved them. Not as Jesus had rebuked them, and not as Jesus had rebuked them, then died for them. He said, well, Jesus rebuked them, but he died for them. So Brother Branham rebukes them, but he loves them. See, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. To think a human being that wants to be right and trying to be right and see that devil, that's the one I'm against. He's blinded the eyes of these people. This nation should be burning with the glory of God to see what took place in her in these last days. Why have these revivals hit the old countries? Why haven't they? That's what he is. Why haven't they hit these back in Europe. This is the west coast over here. Further west you cannot go. In other words, Europe is finished. America has the last word until it goes to back to Palestine. Now the sin barrier has thundered down beneath the earth and she's sinking. In other words, the whole thing is finished. Places, Los Angeles, Hollywood, sinking so many inches per hour, no way to stop it. Yeah, we're here. Most any time you'll hear the summons. Now, don't anybody look, but if you can open your heart, I'm asking now, and open your heart, lest God reveals it. But from your heart, if you can see that you're not where you should be with God in His Word and faith, you could just raise your hand and say, Lord, help thou me. Oh, God, out of this church packed around the walls inside, literally hundreds of hands, maybe 200 hands raised up. Thank you for honesty. And he said, Dear Jesus, don't let any of them be lost. As your servant, they stand between the living and the dead, pointing them with the finger to the Word of God. I cannot save them, Lord, but they want to be saved. And Father, as I have said many times, the sun rises in the morning, comes up across the earth. It's sent by God to ripen the grain, to make natural food for natural living. But, O God, you said to them that fear his name, shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. That the Son of Righteousness, the Word of God, rise in the hearts of the people. And the healing rays of faith in that Word cure every disobedience to the Word, and bring them to the fullness of sons and daughters of God. See, that's how you're going to get the fullness. You can't do it otherwise. A measure of Word, a measure of the Holy Spirit, brings a measure of faith, brings on the full measure of Christ at the end time. I'm saying that. I'm not reading it. They are yours, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, both here and over their telephones. I present them with their raised hand for the salvation of their souls. 195. You know there's a pool of water back there. He's taking a people that's wearing his name. If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of your sins, there's a pool, there's robes, there's men standing ready. You're ready. You're welcome to truly accept Jesus as your Savior and believe that is the truth. Remember, there never was a person in the Bible or any time before the organizing of the Catholic Church was ever baptized any other way than the name of Jesus Christ. There's no place found in Scripture, history, that any person who ever baptized into the Church, the living God, in the name of titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, is a Catholic dogma, not a Bible teaching. That's true, and they admit it. Being interviewed by a priest, I asked that. He said, that is the truth, but we are the church. We can change whatever we want to. The solemnity is in the church. God's in his church. I said, God's in his word. God is the word. And if the church is contrary to the word, then I don't believe the church. I let every man's word be alive, whether he be priest, pope, whatever he might be, and God's word be true. And Paul caused every man, no matter how he'd been baptized, he wasn't baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, to be baptized over again. And right on down the word. After some that had already received the Holy Ghost, Peter said, can any man forbid water, seeing they received the Holy Ghost? Acts 10:49. Seeing they received the Holy Ghost like we did. He commanded them, before you leave the place, although you received the Holy Ghost, come and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For Peter was given the keys of the kingdom, saying, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What does the key do? It unlocks something, the mystery. And Jesus said, go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, setting that there to blind the unbeliever. Watch. Why didn't Peter carry out that word by word? He had to. If a man is baptized in titles, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and never been baptized at all, he has no name. Father's no name, Son's no name, Holy Ghost is no name. Holy Ghost is what it is. Like I'm a human. It is a Holy Ghost. Father's a title. I'm a father. Son is a title. I'm a son. Human's a title. That's what I am. But my name is William Branham. And the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the name of Jesus Christ. And that's right. I came in my Father's name, and his name was Jesus. And what is Lord? That's his position. What is Christ? That's who he is. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. So what do you got? You got Jesus, who is both Lord and Christ. That's exactly what that actual baptism would be, as far as I can see. A complete literal understanding. I could be wrong, but I believe that is correct. He said, I come in my Father's name. What is the Father's name? Any son coming in his Father's name? The Father's name is Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus actually is Jehovah's Savior. Christ means Messiah. Okay, see what I mean? If I told you to go down and get me something off the counter here in the name of the mayor of the city, how many knows you're the mayor? Is my good friend Rich Vissing. Well, you don't go down there and say in the name of the mayor of the city, you say in the name of Richard Vissing. You people here in Jeffersonville know who he is. That's the reason he said, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In him dwells a deity, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus Christ would be the perfect revelation. Peter standing there is a revelation which built the church of who he said, repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The keys turned in heaven and earth. There's not another name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. And then, of course, you're to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ also. Why do you baptize in the name of Jesus Christ? For the remission of sins? Whosoever sins remit, to them they are remitted. See? But if you don't think he's worthy and fit to be baptized, don't you do it. For when you do it, that does it. See, you get what I mean? Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord God, the food is ready. Now speak to hearts, Lord. May they hear Christ the Word calling them and go with Him all the way. I'll go with Him through the garden, I'll go with Him through the pool. I'll take on His name. I want to be one of the people He's calling for His name. I'll believe His Word. I'll follow. I'll never flirt with the Word. And that is to turn it down, you know, and be foolish with it. I'll be true, a spouse bride. I'll not leave off one iota of His Word. Every request, I'll be a true bride. Everything you request me to do, that I'll do. If my coming husband wants me to let my hair grow, I'll do it. If he wants me to take off all this makeup, I'll do it. If he wants, let me tell. He tells me it's an evil spirit, the evil one. I'm flirting with those sexy-looking clothes. I'll do it. I'll take them off. I don't care anybody else says. I'll take them off. He wants me to come out of that group. I'm with them of, that I'm with of unbelievers. I'll do it. Though I make my bread or whatever it is, He promised me He'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'll do it. I'll go with Him all the way. If He wants me to be baptized in His name, I'll do it. And the Lord, You promised it in Your Word, and that's what You wanted. May every person see it, Lord, sweetly, humbly bow to it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. All right, he's saying here then at the last part, he's looking again, not simply at women in my understanding, because men aren't wearing lipstick and makeup and sexy clothes. Actually, men are wearing the most stupid-looking clothes ever. And women are doing their best to be just as sloppy and stupid. So when he's talking about this thing here, he's talking about bride. When he's talking about bride, he's not talking about women that are married to husbands. Well, that's just a type. And so he's saying here concerning a true bride that's espoused, as represented today in the women of the modern age. They are wretched, miserable, blind to the things of God and don't know it. And they've clothed themselves in a way that's absolutely unbecoming to the true bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are disobedient to the revelation and to the word of faith. And they find themselves wretched and miserable, blind and naked, and don't even know it. And so what he's calling the people to, and he talks about women, is to call them to light. Because after all, the men are no different from the women. You come to Christ as members, they're called sons of God. Although he does mention, Paul, daughters, sons and daughters. But when you come right down to Scripture, you must remember that Eve was in Adam. And you're looking then at sons of God. And in looking in that particular way then, you see that in the multiplication of members, it goes into the feminine. So when Brother Branham talks of the woman, he's talking certainly of the condition of the church and for the bride not to be identified with it. And since the women of the world and the church have certainly done those things which their parents and their grandparents would never yield to, like for instance many years ago when I was just a tiny boy, I was maybe 6 or 7 years old when women began to cut their hair. I don't know they cut their hair previously. But I know right around that time they've been cutting their hair. They went into the shingle and bobbed hair and all this sort of thing. And they began, at that time, about 1920-some, they began raising their skirts above their knees, you know, looking sexier still. And all those, they began wearing men's clothes and all of those things. You see, what you're looking at there is actually the replication of the church. You're looking at the woman in her natural demeaned position, which she's allowed herself to be taken to by the enemy. She represents that church. Now, if that's the case, then the man stands with her. He's just as wretched and miserable, blind and naked as the woman is. He's absolutely just as ignorant. And so when Brother Branham brings this to our attention, he's not saying one thing about the men as though, hey, you men are getting off scot-free, like many people try to take the marriage and divorce tape and lay it all back on the woman. Well, let's face it. He told you in the final analysis, he said, Christ can put me away if he wants to, but I dare not put Christ away. And he talked about David having 500 wives, which actually constituted one wife. So Christ has one wife as the bride. Of course, when you get it right down, then he talks about Adam and Eve. But you go back to Adam and Eve, you see literally it could be millions of children that they brought forth from that one, with that one area of life that God allowed, which was God's life, put in another form of life in order to bring it into human beings as we have it today, which is what he did as far as I understand. So you're seeing here where Brother Branham was typing. And so in here at the end time, you'll notice again now, we're closing, that Brother Branham literally identified the bride with Jesus Christ and identified the church with Satan. When he said the modern church, a woman, was fashioned by Hollywood. Satan was her fashioner. He was her one who gave her her outlook, her perception, her perspective. All of those things that he was molding her and bringing her where he wanted. He was not talking of an individual woman, although individual women do represent that church of which men are a great part. And the men have taken the leadership, constituted the hierarchy. You will see far more men in leadership than you'll see women. That is per se a sexual. We're talking of this individual sex. And yet you will find that those men are represented by women. So don't get all bothered about what Brother Branham says concerning a woman as though women are looked down upon. I think he actually said in one place that God gave women a superior position to men. I forget just what that complete quote is, and I wouldn't dare try to take it out of context. I'd have to find it exactly in order to make it exactly the way it is, because that's why I take sermons one at a time, to keep things in context. So I know just what I'm looking at and why I'm looking at it. But he never did run down women. He never did show disrespect for them. You're looking at the type. And when you are looking then at what the woman is doing, and you realize the man is behind it and wanting it, then you can see Satan is the head of the church, and the church represented by the woman is the complete dominated possession of the devil. Then you see where the man's supposed to be, representing Christ. You can see that the true bride is the body of Christ. And we're fully oriented concerning the end time word. And is a true representative of it. So we see that tonight, and we rest on it. And I think we begin to get our types in order, what Brother Branham said. So at this time, we'll be able to rise, and we call this little series finished. Temporarily anyway, let's rise at this time. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the time you've allowed us tonight. It may be a little long, but we are glad that we are able to go through this and perhaps get most of the highlights out and begin to see this thing fall in line exactly. We see, Lord, the trail of deceit. We see the trail of rebellion. We see what started even in heaven. We realize, Lord, that this little bride started in heaven. And we know at the same time that the evil church started in heaven. One started by Jesus way back there, and one started by Satan, who said, I'll exalt myself above the sons of God, I'll take over, I'll be headship, and we can see it. We can see exactly where he's taken all those that were in your image, Lord, and coming right on down, and right down in this end time when even your sons, Lord, have this mixed flesh, out of one lump coming the sons of God and the seed of the serpent. So, Lord, we realize that this is what Satan has done. He's done everything to turn everybody to himself, taking right over, just acting as though he's God, and there is no God beside me. That's what he's told the church, and the church has listened. You got no headship but me. And that's true, that the God of this world, he is their God, and they have his headship. But tonight, Lord, we're claiming your headship. We're claiming identification with you. We're claiming that we are your body. It's a word body. We're claiming the right position. And Father, we're claiming everything that's in that word, but we're looking to the word itself and himself above everything that comes out of that word by virtue of gifts and those things that are placed there. Lord, we know we don't come under that ourselves because we are a part of it. And there are things that we can have. And may we not give them up. May we not put them on the shelf to leave them there. May we not disregard anything. But in every way, Lord, be happy that all of these things are ours, because they're in the Word, and we are the Word to it. So, Lord, let our lives be so in order by the Spirit of God within the Word that all these other things come out. And, Lord, if we can have certain things amongst us that you allow, we're happy to have them. Grant unto us the wisdom, the discerning of spirits, and all of those things that are so necessary, as the prophet taught us. We'll give you the glory. Again, we pray, Lord, heal the sick amongst us and help us all to be nobler, better Christians because of the life of the Word within us. And may our hope be set upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And not only that, but above all, that one who is that Word, who is the life, and we are a part of it. Dismiss us tonight now. Bring us back again with joy and peace and the wonder and goodness of our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.